you ever find yourself looking for a good conversation starter, or even just something to talk about with family, friends, a partner, maybe a coworker? Welcome to the Offsides Podcast. This is a perspective show where we dive into all things sports and pop culture to keep you up to date. You might be asking yourself, why is this helpful to me? Going on a date with a sports fan? We'll get you caught up with the latest happenings, so you'll be sure to impress.
Want to know what's going on in pop culture or celebrity news? We've got you covered. We have the newest and hottest news about who's dating who, what the heck they were wearing, and even all the tea for popular reality TV shows. Offside is hosted by myself, Sonia.
And me, Andrew.
Giving you two perspectives on any topic and how to include it in any conversation. We are the hub for all things conversation starters and cannot wait to hear how our news, sports, and pop culture insight led to successful and engaging conversations.
Welcome back to Offsides Podcast. I'm Andrew with an A.
And I'm Sonia with a J. And we're so excited you joined us for yet another week of the Offsides. We got a good episode planned for you, so let's get started.
Yeah, there was a big brawl in hockey lately. The Capitals and the Rangers. As soon as the puck dropped, the gloves were down on the ice and three fights broke out.
Oh my goodness.
This was a result of a hit that had happened in the previous game that injured one of the Rangers' best players. He's going to be out for the season, which there's only two games left in the season, but that means it's playoff time. So they're going to lose him. They're very upset. The player on the Capitals that injured their player, not suspended, no real disciplinary action was taken. So the fight breaks out immediately. And it's an interesting setup in hockey right now because of COVID. They changed the schedule. They changed the divisions a little bit. So you play teams back to back to back multiple times in a row. So usually when something like that happens, a player gets hit and there's a fight, you have to wait a while and there's this buildup to the fight. The game was the very next night. So it was immediate. You knew the fight was going to happen. And I have never seen people get more excited than when a fight breaks out at hockey games.
Yes, I agree.
For some reason, people absolutely love it. And it's funny, you have the real traditionals of the sport that say, oh, it's part of the sport, it's part of the game, we need it in the game. There's people that hate the fighting in hockey and are like, can't they just play hockey? Like, why do they have to? There's the joke, I went to a fight and a hockey game broke out.
Oh, that's funny.
So, and then there's the people that just absolutely love it and are losing their minds. So I'm sure that people were ecstatic when this happened because it's always exciting when the gloves go down immediately. Literally, I think the puck and the gloves hit the ice at the same time.
Oh my goodness.
It was pretty exciting. But I have never seen, speaking of people getting excited by the fights, I have never seen people get more excited about hockey fights than females.
Well, my question is what was the injury caused to the other player that he's out for the rest of the season?
Upper body injury, I believe. It wasn't at the time that I saw because it was so fresh. They hadn't specified exactly what it was. And I haven't gone back to check exactly what the diagnosis was after he was able to leave the arena and see the doctors. Mm-hmm. I just know that it was severe. It's something that's going to take him out for the rest of the season. And the player that committed the injury, his name's Tom Wilson. He's notably a dirty player that has commit multiple hits that have injured players, things of that nature. So there's a lot of people around the league, fans of hockey, that are absolutely not fans of Tom Wilson.
Well, that's not good. You know, I think, back to your other point, females do get a little wild and crazy for hockey and hockey fights because it's so exciting. You know, hockey's a very manly sport, and, like, on top of that, you don't get to see them. Like, you know, their whole body shape, their whole face and everything. But when the gloves come off, you know, sometimes the helmet comes off, you get to see a lot more of that, and it's just exciting. It's thrilling. I'm guilty of it. I love it. I remember one time I was watching a Golden Knights game on TV at their practice arena here in Vegas, and then at the same place, a facility they had, it was a hockey rink, and they had college going on, and there was like three or four fights that had went on, and it was so exciting, so exhilarating. Like, there's just, it's not like UFC, it's not like MMA, it's just so different, and it's just fun to watch. I don't know how else to explain it, but I'm sure other females or girls will agree, I guess.
It's funny, I think hockey fights are some of the funniest looking things because they're on ice skates. They're trying to fight each other.
Yes.
They're slipping. They're trying to grab each other. Like, it looks so ugly to me. Like, there are times where someone will land a big hit where people will be like, oh, he totally won this fight. Well, I'm like, he barely even hit the dude. Like,
yes.
Sometimes hockey fights, people are like, oh, he got his ass kicked. And I was like, really? Because it looked like they just skated around grabbing each other for a little bit. And then it's always funny because they'll fight and then they're just standing there holding each other sometimes. And then it just kind of ends. So I think hockey fights are a little funny in that sense because it's hard to fight on ice skates.
Mm-hmm.
I've never tried it, but I imagine if I tried to fight somebody on a soapy floor where we were both slipping, that the fight would not be too clean. So that was exciting, though, to see. And three separate fights broke out. So all over the ice, you had fights going on, and you knew it was going to happen. One thing in hockey that's always exciting, and it doesn't happen very often, is when there's a goalie fight.
Yes, you're right. It's very rare to see that, and I agree. What is your thoughts on that?
Goalie fights are funny and interesting because the two goalies have to skate across the ice and meet each other. When two players fight, it can just break out almost spontaneously. Just right there, wherever a hit happened, whether it be on the boards in the middle of the ice, whether it be someone got hit with a stick and they start fighting. The goalies, it's like they have to skate to the middle. So it's like an old-fashioned, you know, gunfight where you pull out the guns and they're waiting like wild, wild west.
Yeah.
That's how I feel when two goalies fight. It's like they're coming to the middle. They're meeting each other. So I think it's funny. It's exciting because they have such big pads on. And when I talked about trying to fight on a slippery surface, now try and fight with big pads on. It's exciting for sure, and I definitely see why people like the fights in hockey. Something else that's exciting is the 2021 Olympics are going to happen this summer in Tokyo. They were supposed to take place in 2020. COVID pushed them back a year, and obviously it's exciting that we'll see sports back in action, the return to sports with, you know, football, basketball, MLB coming back now, fans being back in the building. Things are beginning to return to some sense of normalcy and excitement again in sports. And maybe the most exciting thing about the Olympics this year mm-hmm. is that they'll feature new Olympic sports.
Oh, which ones?
Surfing, sport climbing, which is various forms of rock climbing, skateboarding,
ooh.
Baseball and softball will make a return.
Oh, wow.
And karate.
But karate is just like a form of like judo and jiu-jitsu.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see these athletes participate. And that was one of the biggest things with the Summer Olympics being pushed back a year is these athletes in these new disciplines, these new sports that are being added, had trained now for multiple years. Mm-hmm. They were excited, obviously. They're going to be pioneers of these sports in the Olympic Games.
It's exciting.
And they then were told, you know what, actually, we're canceling the games. Because at this point, they didn't know if they were just going to postpone, if they were going to have to cancel, what was going to happen. So in surfing, they will surf on the Pacific coast of Japan because
ooh.
It's going to be in Tokyo. And the thing that's interesting with that is waves are different. Nature's different. It's not a man-made thing.
It's not controllable.
Exactly. It's not a controlled environment where every wave is the same. So that adds an exciting element to that. Whereas in skateboarding, you know, the half pipe is going to be the same.
Oh,
the runs goodness. That you're doing, the course is going to look the same. And it's what will you do on that course?
My question to you is, so a lot of these athletes trained all 2020. A lot of them had some Olympic trials that they made it. Now, had you made it in 2020, are you still qualified for 2021, or is there a brand new Olympic trials for each individual sport?
It's the same athletes that originally qualified for the 2020 Olympics. I'm sure it's up to each country, say someone experienced an injury or someone had, you know, a personal matter change their life within the last year where they now would be unable to compete. that you'll be able to fill that spot with a different athlete from your country.
So for the United States, is what you're saying, that they've already had all of their Olympic trials from 2020 and they're all just continuing on to 2021?
Yeah, so it's the same athletes. Everything just got pushed back a year. So it'll still be the same athletes that were planning to participate.
Mm-hmm.
But with these new sports, there were many other sports that were considered to be added to the game. And for a sport to be added to the Olympics, it's kind of interesting. The requirement is that the sport must have a men's federation in at least 75 countries on four continents, and a women's federation in 40 countries on three different continents. So there was various sports that they looked at adding. There was candidates such as rugby, golf, parkour.
Oh, I love parkour.
But those sports that I mentioned were the ones that were chosen to be added. It's also funny looking back at some sports that are no longer Olympic sports, which cricket used to be an Olympic sport and is one of the most popular sports around the world. So it's kind of surprising to me that that is no longer an Olympic sport. It was only an Olympic sport once, and that was in the Paris Games in 1900.
Oh my goodness.
And then lacrosse used to be an Olympic sport, and it was only in the Olympics twice, and that was in St. Louis in 1904 and London in 1908. And then my favorite one, looking back at previous Olympic sports, is tug of war, which it was incorporated into the Olympic Games, Paris of 1900 again, just when cricket was there. And it continued until 1920. So it had a little run, 20 years, the Olympics every 4 years. It would have been in five Olympic Games. And for Tokyo, it was one of the ones that was originally considered. It was on the pre-selection list and then ultimately did not make the cut. But I would definitely tune in to some Olympic tug-of-war.
Oh my goodness, how fun. And my thing is, what are the rules? What are the regulations? How many people per team? How do you train for this? I feel like that would be such a fascinating sport to really like watch every 4 years.
I completely agree, and I always love with tug of war, like, what is the strategy? Is it these big, strong men that are the best, or people that are so lean and have a strong core and have a pretty balanced body? Like, there's a lot of different body types that can be deceivingly good at tug of war, so I think you would see a lot of differing athletes. But I want to ask you, between surfing, skateboarding, rock climbing, karate, and for you, softball, which sport do you think you would be the best at? If you had to compete at one of them in the Olympics, which one are you liking your chances the most?
That's a good one. No to softball. I don't have the best hand-eye coordination. Surfing, possibly, if I really gave it a shot, I think I could try. Plus, you're in the water and you're always tan, so like that's a plus. Skateboarding, I feel like I would be too nervous. I'd always be falling, so that would just knock me out. Maybe karate and... Oh, actually, I think it'd be between rock climbing and surfing, because I used to be a rock climbing supervisor. So I know how to belay, and I used to rock climb. I wasn't the best, but like I loved the sport of it and learning about it. So I think those would be my top two. How about yourself?
I used to skateboard across my college campus, so I have a little bit of skateboarding experience, but I also snap my ankle in half at a skate park and have a plated screws in my ankle, so I don't see a future in the Olympics for me there. Rock climbing, my sister got big into the sport of bouldering for a while, and I went with her, and she was much better than I was, so I don't know about that. Karate, I did karate classes when I was younger, and by classes, I mean maybe two. I don't even think I made it to the point where they issue you your white belt. Baseball, I played baseball a little bit, and I can hit the ball pretty well. Surfing, I've been surfing a couple times, and it was pretty fun. And I think if I put in the time, it would have to be either surfing or baseball.
Okay. Those are good quality choices.
Yeah, so that's what's new in the world of sports and the Olympics, which are going to be here before we know it. What's going on in the world of pop culture?
Wow, we got some interesting stuff. So, with the Kardashians set to end their new, show and dynasty of Keeping Up with the Kardashians, they actually made some news because they purchased $37 million side-by-side house lots. And it was the mother, Kris Jenner, and her daughter, Khloe Kardashian. And I find that very interesting just because, A, $37 million is quite a lot of chunk of money, but B, you know, being that close, I mean, obviously they're huge plots of land. I think just over 26,000 square feet of land per lot next to each other. But that's still really, I mean, I don't know how they're going to do it. My thing is they're going to have like a wall, like a great wall of China that separates them, or they're going to have their backyards that connect. So I kind of wanted to ask the question, what is too close for comfort when it comes to family and like living with them? Because this reminds me of, I don't know if you ever saw My Big Fat Greek Wedding. And when, you know, the main character finally gets married, their wedding gift is a house and it's across the street from them. So I'm always curious people's thoughts on, you know, living with family and living close by family. I mean, what do you think, Andrew?
So there's two things that immediately come to my mind. And one is the show Sister Wives. I don't know if you're familiar, but the Brown family, the Sister Wives family, went to the same high school as I did. I was the same age as Maddie Brown. We were in a lot of classes together.
Wow,
she was the student body president my senior year. And when they moved to Las Vegas from Utah, they ended up purchasing some new houses in a neighborhood that are all at the end of the cul-de-sac, side by side.
Mm-hmm. But it was like four, right?
It's like literally 4 minutes from my house. All their backyards are adjoined. So even though they all live in separate houses, mm-hmm. all the kids could like go in different backyards, and you don't need a pool in four backyards. You can have a pool in one backyard. You mm-hmm. can have the swing set and play set in this other backyard for the other kids. So that's kind of a cool dynamic. And I always thought that would be cool, like if you lived at the end of a cul-de-sac next to all your best friends. And I know that's not your family, but an adjoining backyard with all your best friends where all your kids could just run freely between the yards would be really cool. The other thing that I think about is my aunt mm-hmm. and my grandparents live, there's one house in between them. Okay. So they are kind of like this situation. My aunt lives one house away from her mom and dad. Mm-hmm. And the biggest thing that I think about that is she became kind of their IT person, their fix-it person. So you kind of get into those things, which is different than the Kardashian situation because they have a lot of help at their fingertips. They have a lot of people that are taking care of those things for them mm-hmm. already.
Yeah.
And from what we've seen on the show, they have a very close relationship. Obviously, all of the sisters look up to their mom and go to their mom for advice and like to talk to her about things. So I think on these large plots of land, they'll be okay.
Yeah, so when my question to you is, when you mean adjoining, like there's no separation in between all of the yards, it's just one big backyard, or there's like a privacy wall and like a door that they have to go through?
So I'm not totally sure how the setup is, but I would imagine that there still is a wall there because, I mean, when you go to resell the house or whatever, mm-hmm. you would have to put that wall back in.
Yeah.
And I'm sure the builders, to meet codes, have to build a wall in there.
Yeah.
So I would imagine that there's just like little gates in the wall.
Oh, gotcha.
Where you can pass through. I wouldn't think it's one long open yard.
Yeah. Well, my only thing would be privacy. Like, what if you didn't want someone coming in your house or your backyard or, you know, wild? But like, what if you were just tanning nude one day and you didn't want any children or anybody else? Like, you really have to make sure that there's like boundaries and stuff, you know? Okay, not between these hours, you can't.
Yeah, I think in the situation of the sister wives with that many kids always running around, your days of tanning nude are probably over.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with you on that one. But it'll be interesting to see what becomes of these house lots and side by side. And, you know, it's always curious to see if like people would really want to live that close to family. I know there's lots of housing buildings up here in Vegas, and they're constantly, you know, you could get a plot of land and get people next to each other. So that is a very fascinating thing to think about. But moving on to our next one is one of my favorites, is it's almost summer, and it's one of my favorite times of the year. Sunshine, warm weather, and of course, we have new TV shows that are coming out. You know, each season has their own. So I'm going to rattle off a few and let me know if you know of them. Have you heard of Mom?
I have not.
That one is on CBS. So their season finale is going to be on May 13th coming up. We have, have you heard of this one? And this one's very interesting. High School Musical, the musical series on Disney Plus.
I feel like I've seen something on Twitter about this, and I would be interested to see what it's like because, I mean, High School Musical without Zac Efron and Ashley Tisdale and Vanessa Hudgens just doesn't seem right.
Yeah, and Corbin Blue and all of the originals, I don't know. And this is interesting because it's a TV show. So this is on Disney Plus, and the second season airs on May 14th. So I'm intrigued to see how that goes. Oh, there's a new one on Amazon. I don't know if you've heard of this, and it's called The Underground Railroad, airs May 14th, which seems like something that would be very interesting to watch.
So that, I would assume, is probably like a dramatized documentary type thing where it tells the story of Harriet Tubman and how she helped enslaved people escape in the 1800s?
Yeah, something around there. They said it's presented as an alternate history, so I'm sure a little bit of it's exaggerated and manipulated for TV and drama, but that one looks also really good. I'm trying to think of any other good ones that we see on this list. Ooh, do you ever watch NCIS? Have you ever seen any of those?
I have watched a couple NCIS episodes. I have family members that like it, and I'll watch it with them. I was more of a SVU
person. Oh, classic.
Or yes. Criminal Minds. I watched a lot of Criminal Minds and followed that story. I know another show that's coming up that I'm excited about is the show Dave. It's the second season of Dave that is coming out, and it is a show about Lil Dicky, and kind of, it's loosely based on his actual life and how he's gotten to the point where he has now, and it talks a lot about, it dives into a lot of interesting things, talks about his relationships, talk about his hype man and how he was diagnosed with bipolar disorder.
Oh, interesting.
Like, it covers big topics in a comedic way. I'm excited for season two.
So where can you watch that if anyone wants to watch that?
On Hulu.
On Hulu. And then is it through a specific channel on Hulu or just like Hulu in general?
Just Hulu in general, and then you just search Dave, and you can binge watch season one. All the episodes are up there right now.
Oh, interesting. Oh, another one. I don't know. Would you ever feel comfortable trying out for American Ninja Warrior? Because that comes back at the end of May, May 31st.
I think it would be fun to do. I have been in the gym a bit lately, but I don't know if I am physically up to the American Ninja Warrior. I think the Wipeout course is more my speed.
Oh, I love Wipeout. That was one of my favorites to watch. We got season 16, this is crazy, of America's Got Talent. We have Simon Cowell, Heidi Klum, Sofia Vergara, and Howie Mandel. And then as their host, we have Terry Crews. So it's always interesting to see that what, you know, stars and talent comes out of this show.
I think I've seen all 16 seasons. I love that show. It was a show my family and I made sure we would sit down and watch it together when I was younger. And
that's interesting.
Even now, I'll call up my mom and dad and be like, "Did you guys watch America's Got Talent yet? Please tell me you didn't."
Oh, that's over funny. Yeah, so that airs on NBC June 1st, season 16. Who else do we have? What other good ones? We got, Family Feud, Celebrity. That one looks pretty good, June 6th. Oh my goodness, how could I forget? So we have the first round of The Bachelorette, because they're doing two seasons this time of The Bachelorette. So we have Katie Thurston starts in June 7th, which I don't know if you've seen, some of her promos have come out on social media, and she's got some negative, feedback from it, and they're like, clearly production didn't have enough money, but you know what? I've seen them, and I think she looks stunning, and I'm very intrigued to watch it, and she was good to watch on this show. She was wholesome, so I'm intrigued to watch her season. Are you going to watch it?
I'll maybe follow it on Twitter.
Yeah, tune in and discuss. Ooh, what do we got here? Ooh, this is going to be interesting. I feel like, Andrew, you'd appreciate this. Your girl, Zoe Deschanel and Michael Bolton are hosting a brand new show, and it's called The Celebrity Dating Game on ABC, June 14th. So this is where celebrity singles pick from a hidden pan of potential suitors based on a variety of questions, but there's a twist, and that is the panel does not know who the celebrities are and will be given clues via hilarious parody songs, performances by Michael Bolton. Oh, that's going to be very interesting.
I think you should apply to be on one of those panels.
But I don't know. It's celebrities, though.
I think it's a celebrity single, but I would guess the panel might not be celebrities.
Oh.
That it would kind of be, you know, there's those exclusive dating apps that, like, you have to get
certified.
Invited to or whatever.
So something like
maybe that's where they're pulling these panels from.
Oh, that's so interesting. Okay. Well, we'll keep that in there. And then, ooh, have you ever watched The Elite?
I have not. I have not even heard of it.
Yeah, that's supposed to be a really good one on Netflix. It's a Netflix thriller, teen thriller. So that comes back on June 18th. Oh my goodness, Rick and Morty. I don't know if you watch Rick and Morty, but it's pretty funny. That is set to come back June 20th. And I think those are like a lot of the good ones that are coming back.
That's a lot. There's a lot of things that will keep you busy during the summer. Come home from work, kick back by the pool, maybe pull up Netflix, Hulu on your iPad.
Disney Plus, whatever you use to stream all of your shows. But those are just a few for you to watch, tune in, or even start binging. You know, school's starting to slow down. You know, work maybe will slow down. If you have some time, check out those shows and let us know what you think.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's flip the script a little bit today. For the last 10 weeks, the last 10 episodes, we've talked about conversation starters, engaging things to keep a conversation going.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, not every situation, not every person that you talk to, everyone that you're interested in, always works out.
True.
Which is totally cool.
That's how you learn.
Totally fine. Exactly. And I think that's important when you're able to realize and acknowledge, like, hey, you know what? This was fun. Like, we had fun, but it's not going to be anything more than this. So today I want to talk about how you have a conversation, whether it's ending a relationship, whether it's just a fling that you had, if you got ghosted, talking in person versus texting someone. There's a lot of interesting dynamics here. So I'll open up the floor to you first, and we'll start with an easy question.
Okay.
Which do you prefer when someone's going to tell you, hey, this, either they're breaking up with you if you're in a relationship, or they're saying, hey, I think, you know, the old thing, we should just be friends, which you're probably not going to be friends. You're probably never going to speak again,
no.
But it's a nice thing to say. Would you prefer that conversation happens in person or via text message?
So I'm going to go after a personal experience. If you're in a serious relationship, like you're dating for more than a year or a year, I would say it should be done out of respect of the person, your significant other, the person you're dating, or respect for yourself too, to always do it in person. You can't go wrong with doing it in person, and especially if you've been like seeing this person or talking to them or dating them for a year, that's a significant amount of time. If it was less than a year, that's a little different, but I think around that year mark, I think you should respect yourself and the person that you were talking to say, you know what, an example, I'm not mature enough to handle this thing, or I don't see this going anywhere, or whatever it may be, but take responsibility for your part in it and say, you know what, I don't want to do this and I don't want to hurt you anymore, or I don't want to, whatever it may be, but I think the most and the best possible situation, especially depending on time, and I think time is a big thing to do with it, is to do it in person. You know, I mean, FaceTime is a lot different than texting someone and then doing it in person, and I feel like that person will respect you and will, like, maybe like timing is an issue, or maybe there's something that's not right, but you never know. And like I always say, do what you think would be best or what your parents would suggest to you. And if you would like that, then the other person would probably like it too, you know?
Yeah. Have you ever broken up with somebody?
Yes.
And the reason that I ask you this, and I think it's something that is a unique dynamic in these scenarios,
mm-hmm.
is you've decided in your mind, okay, I'm going to break up with this person.
Mm-hmm.
You know you're going to go meet with them and you're going to have this conversation.
Mm-hmm.
When you get there to have this conversation with them in person, because like you said, and I agree, it is much better to do this in person.
Mm-hmm.
Do you kiss them? Because typically when you see someone you're talking to or someone you're dating,
yeah.
when you first see them, you'll give them a hug and a kiss. But like, you know the conversation you're about to have. So do you like kiss them first and then you talk about it?
See, that's tough. That's really tough because I'm replaying a situation in my head. And I remember talking with some friends and some family about it, and I knew the person was going to be kind of obstinate about it. So they told me, which is a quality sense of piece of advice where they were like, do it somewhere in a public place. And they're saying not only for the sake of yourself, but for them, like it's harder for someone to react as emotional or crazy when you're in a public place. So I would say, you know, maybe not do that. A hug is fine. Like I think a hug is not going to hurt them. But like if you guys are constantly used to kissing, then maybe do it like a little like peck or something. But like I would also say like do it somewhere public and like a hug and like just try and be as nice and caring. And if you come from love and compassion, then there's nothing that could go wrong, right?
Right. So my take on this too. So I broke up with a girl in high school, and my thought process, and it's always funny when you're in high school because like you think like, oh, this is how it should go. And you look back and you're like, oh my gosh, I knew nothing about like relationships or this or that.
Yeah.
But my thought process was, okay, I know that I'm going to break up with this girl.
Mm-hmm.
Let me meet up with her, pick her up. And we went to go get Slurpees.
Ooh, okay.
Because my thought process was, nobody can be too upset when they're holding a Slurpee in their hand. Like, have you ever seen someone with a Slurpee that's not in a good mood? Like, it's just not something that I think I've ever seen in my life. So we grabbed Slurpees. We went to a public place, a park. We sat down on a bench and we talked. And, like, everything ended up being fine. But literally, high school Andrew was like, Slurpee. That's what we need for this breakup.
You know what? Mine's not much better. I was thinking of a place to break up and like just like let them down easily, like just kind of part our ways and go our separate ways. And I took them to Panera, or I suggested Panera. Panera bread, carbs. You can't go wrong, right?
Exactly.
Who can be mad eating carbs?
You got a bread bowl or some mac and cheese in front of you. Like, how are you going to be crying into it?
Exactly. So, you know, I think that's a very interesting question. And it's a very valid thing to think about, especially, like, if you know it's not necessarily going to be mutual. And, like, thinking about the other person and their emotions and their feelings is really important. But if you come from like a sense of like compassion and love and caring, even though like maybe you don't necessarily feel that way about that person, as long as you make it like sound like it or like come from that, I think there's nothing you can do. Like that's it. Their reaction is their reaction. You can't control them. You can only control your delivery and everything else from there.
Yeah. So on the flip side of that, it's something that probably happens more often than
yes.
breaking up in a relationship that you've been in for a year, a couple months, whatever it may be, is little flings that you have.
Ooh.
Whether it be a summer fling, whether it be the classic first year back out of high school, everyone's back for Thanksgiving,
oh, yes.
and you hook up with your old boo. There's lots of different flings that happen, whether it be Tinder, Bumble, however you meet these people.
Mm-hmm.
And these, I think, are so funny the way they end. There's a lot of ghosting stories.
Yes.
One of my favorites is, say, you met someone out at a bar, you met someone on a dating app, and you start Snapchatting, you start talking a little bit, and then all of a sudden there's radio silence. You
mm-hmm.
probably have followed each other on Instagram by this point, and then you see, oh, they're dating someone. Like, because that's not a conversation that you have with like someone that you're in a fling with, like, hey, I got a boyfriend. Like, you're not going to message someone and be like, I got a boyfriend, I got a girlfriend.
That's
like,
true. That's
been,
very
it's
true.
It's been nice Snapchatting. It's been nice hanging out, hooking up occasionally,
mm-hmm.
Blah, blah, blah. Like, the conversation just kind of ends and then you see like, oh, that's why they've stopped talking to me. Have you experienced that?
Yeah. My thing is to, like, sometimes, like, you're going to get butthurt and you're going to get upset, but, like, you have to think about it where it's like, how would it go if they really did tell me? Like, would I have preferred them to say, you know, I actually was on and off with my, like, boyfriend, girlfriend, but I was just using you as a rebound or using you to, like, get my confidence back up? Like, would you have rather have heard that or rather have them have gone radio silent? So you got to take the good with the bad and realize what you really wanted. And I think that's something really important to think about, because I know I've been ghosted or, like, you know, they just radio silence or, like, kind of petering off. And, like, I can tell a lot of times with guys from experiences, like, when they're not actively putting in the effort or actively trying to hang out or to see you, like, I know it's not going somewhere. And I'm the type of person that's very different, but, like, I don't necessarily like to follow them on social media right away. I kind of like to get a vibe of who they are and hanging out, and then maybe, like, a couple months or a month or whatever, once I get that vibe of who they really are, then see what they are on social media, because they could be someone totally different. And if you go off of social media and then see what they are in real person, I think it's different. And I think it's always best to see how they are in real life and in person than social media. However, on the flip side, though, if you meet them via social media, that's a different story. So I think it's very interesting to see. And you kind of have to take it where it's like, what do they say? Like, let the dead be dead. And
what?
No, but, like, you know, like, ghosting, like, they're, like, a ghost and, like, you don't want – why would you want them to come back? Because sometimes they always come back. A lot of the times they always creep back because whatever that they were focusing on didn't work out, so they come back to you and you're like, do I really want this? You know?
Right. I get what you're saying. I just never heard that expression before. And you're very right. And speaking from a guy's perspective, like, if we want to hang out with you, like, we'll make time to hang out
100%.
With you. 100%. That's a for sure thing. So, I mean, the writing is on the wall sometimes. And there are times, especially if it is a fling, if it's a relationship, it's a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's clear that this is just kind of a fling, maybe a little bit of a crush,
or booty
and
out.
You start to see that writing on the wall, like, with you said, let the dead be dead. Like, at the same time, like, if you acknowledge that this is happening, like, don't throw your heart and soul into it.
Yes.
Obviously, it works out sometimes, and you can sit down and have a real conversation like, hey, I know this was started as a fling, but I've started to, like, develop feelings for you, blah, blah, blah. Do you feel the same way? And if it ends, it ends. And that's one thing that is great about flings is that with a relationship, there's a lot of serious commitment. There's these things that maybe you've shared, maybe you've bought together.
Yes.
If we break up, who takes this? Who does that? And with a fling, it's kind of like, all right, well, that was fun. Let me find someone that is better suited to what I want long term.
Now, I heard one of the best pieces of advice is that I've ever heard for, like, dating is don't worry so much about if that person likes you. Worry if you like them. Because why waste your time if you don't really like them? Like, who cares if they like you? And I never thought about that until recently. And I was like, that's so true. Because I'm not going to sit around and, like, say, like, oh, he really likes me, but I don't know if I like him. Like, you really got to figure out if you like that person. And, like, yes, you get it by, like, hanging out with them and talking to them. And who knows? You could be the ghoster. It could be – it doesn't necessarily have to be a certain gender. And you're just like, I don't – because it's part of it is, like, you get uncomfortable and you don't know how to say, like, I just don't like you. And people don't like to hear rejection. And that's a lot of it is that's why people ghost, they think, and they get insecure and they don't want to hurt someone as opposed to, like, sometimes being honest, some people can handle it. So it's kind of like a give or take type of thing, and you have to evaluate the situation.
It is a tough conversation to have, and that's why I wanted to talk about it. And you giving some great advice, do it in a public place, do it in a place where you're comfortable, a place that you feel comfortable in. In my situation, like I said, I picked her up and then we broke up, and, like, the drive back to the house after that was awkward. And then, like, we've been together for a while. When I talked about the kissing thing, like, I broke up with you. Like, I'm not going to, like, hug you goodbye now or, like, kiss you goodbye. So I would recommend going in separate cars as well.
Yes.
Just meeting somewhere.
And then what do you feel about, too? Because this is a valid point to think about. Communication. So, like, no communication, like, nothing. No Snapchat, no Instagram, no social media, no texting, no phone calls, nothing. Or be like, you know, what if she had reached out and said, hey, like, I really don't agree. Like, you know, she's trying to kind of fight it. Or she said, I appreciate that. Thank you. Best of luck. Like, would you prefer no communication or something? But that's a personal thing, too.
Yeah, that is a personal thing, and I also think it depends on the conversation that you had in person, because those things might have been said to end the conversation. Like, hey, I really appreciate that you were open and honest with me.
Mm-hmm.
That's something I've really, like, respected about you. That's why I enjoy being with you. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I understand, like, I think it might be best for me, for you, like, if we just kind of cut things off. But I think it is very natural to, especially if you're in a relationship, to want to continue to talk to that person because that's you've hard. Talked to them a lot. Yeah. Now you've broken up. Like, it's weird to go from 100 to 0. So there's definitely going to be some natural instances, especially for, I would say, a week to 3 weeks where these kind of just like a text like, hey, like, how are you doing? Blah, blah, blah. Or what are you up to? Because when you break up, most of the time, people are going to be like, you know, I don't think it's working out in this sense, but, like, I definitely still want to, like, be friends and hang out. And, like I said, that's a great thought. It sounds great. It's nice. But it's just hard to maintain a friendship like that if you've been in a relationship.
Yeah.
And then it's always hard moving into your next relationship if you're still friends with an ex. Because it just creates this whole, like, weird dynamic.
Yeah.
But I do think it is natural to want to talk to the person you've been with for a little bit after you break up.
I remember the last person that I had broken up with, and it was a complete accident. Like, we would send each other memes, and, like, you know, sometimes you send multiple people memes. And I accidentally clicked his name because it was so far up in my thing, and I'm like, and then he replies it. Sorry, that wasn't for you. So making sure you're consciously aware of where you're clicking and where you're sending things. But yeah, you're right. It's definitely like you're on autopilot. You still miss that person. You're grieving to some extent. And you really want to send them something. Or something reminds them of you. That's the worst. A song, a color. Or not a color, but you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah. But to answer your question, I think that there should kind of be a cutoff of communication.
I agree.
I've made this decision, or you made the decision and told me, whichever way it goes, that, like, we're not going to work out anymore, so let's kind of just cut it off. Things ended civilly. Hopefully they ended civilly.
Mm-hmm.
Cut it off and be like, you know, I really enjoyed this. You made an impact on my life. Because, I mean, every experience you have changes who you are as a person. So this person did have an impact on your life and your thoughts. Maybe you experienced new things with them. So it's like, you know, that was great. We have that for each other, but let's kind of just cut this off and not talk anymore, which is a tough thing to do, but I think in the long run, it's the more beneficial thing to do.
Now, that's when you are in a serious relationship. What if you were just talking to someone for a few weeks? Because that happens all the time. You talk to someone and, like, is it better to ghost? In your perspective?
I don't think it's ever the right choice to ghost somebody. There should always be a notion of, like, hey, it's just not working out anymore.
But is that the right terminology to use? Because there's so many, like, could you say, because, you know, sometimes, like, it's just, but then, because, you know, if you're going to say that to a female, and I'm going to play devil's advocate, well, what's not working out? What do you mean? We've had a great time. Like, we've been out. Like, you like my friends. I like your friends. Why is it not working out? You know, so then you have to explain yourself. So what's another way you could say, giving someone an example, like, where there's no way that you can, like, have to explain yourself. You know what I'm saying?
Right. So I think there has to be a very clear line on both sides. If you are not looking for this to become anything more, if it is just a fling,
okay,
to acknowledge at the beginning, like, we're just, like, hookup buddies. Or a lot of people have that person that, when they're out drinking, they always hook up with each other.
Mm-hmm.
They always end up making out. They always end up in the same room together, whatever it may be.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of instances like that. But I just think you can acknowledge, like, hey, we've been friends. We've hung out a lot. Like, we've shared a lot of good times.
Yeah.
But, and usually the thing that makes someone have this conversation
mm-hmm.
is if they are now ready to pursue a more serious relationship.
I agree, yeah. Because
that's usually what ends a fling. It can be like, hey, we were there for each other. We've had a lot of good times. But this person really aligns with, you know, what I'm trying to do, where I'm trying to go. Mm-hmm. Like, So I'm kind of going to pursue this. But like we said with a fling, typically it kind of just tails off. And yeah. then you see, oh, they're in a relationship now. But I don't think like completely ghosting somebody. And it's different because if it's just someone you've been Snapchatting, like it's a lot easier to stop Snapchatting them.
Yeah.
But if it's someone that you've been texting and like now you know about who their work friends are, you know about how their days are going. Like I think there should be some clear communication there that, hey, I'm like moving on to this next thing. And it's not a bad thing if someone is moving on. Because like I said, you both had an impact on each other's lives. You'll remember that person. But now they're just pursuing something different. And the direction they're going may not be the direction that you want
to
go.
Also, too, you don't want to like force someone to be with you or to like do something that they don't want to do because it's going to be miserable for both people. And you kind of have to think about it like that, too. It's like, do I really want to like pursue this when the other person doesn't? Or is it just like just a lesson to learn? And what did I like and what didn't I like? And thanks, but no thanks. Thank you, right. Next.
Absolutely. So, like we talked, breakups can be hard. Ending things can be hard. It's an uncomfortable situation. So, try to find a way to make yourself comfortable. Go into a public place. Mm-hmm. Drive separately so that you can avoid that awkwardness afterwards.
Make sure some PDA is either there or not there, depending on how you want to leave things. I would personally suggest a hug at the beginning and leave it at that.
I like that. And I think something that's very important is once you've made the decision that you want to break up with someone,
follow through.
Follow through. Because it's very easy to start having that conversation and then the person, you know, starts justifying or fighting for why they want to stay together, which is awesome. But you've already made that decision based on other things that you're ready to end it. So regardless of what's said in those 30 minutes, an hour, whatever, however long this conversation is, just follow through with it.
Yes.
Because you've already made that decision for whatever reason it may be.
I agree. You trust your gut and go with it.
Yeah, so that brings us to our free play segment. Which I'm sure our listeners are familiar now with. It's a segment where we kind of just ask each other some personal questions. We did the hot sauce challenge one time. It's kind of just a little fun segment at the end. And something that's very fun, something that we mentioned earlier in the episode, is summertime.
Yes, summer.
And the last couple episodes, we've given our best and worst on a lot of things. Best and worst DM. We talked about best and worst roommate situation.
First date.
Yes, first date as well. So something that you and I were talking about earlier and you came up with this idea and I love it, is best and worst vacation you've ever had, whether that be with friends and family. So do you want to kick it off or do you want me to kick it off?
I want to hear yours.
Okay, I'll start with my worst vacation experience. And I traveled a lot when I was younger because of soccer. Mm-hmm. I played on a very competitive team, and we traveled to a lot of different states, cities to compete in tournaments. And I will never forget this one tournament that we played in Colorado.
Ooh.
We stayed at a hotel mm-hmm. called the First Choice Inn. And let me tell you, that is the last choice of a hotel that I would ever stay in.
Oh, that's funny.
It is the absolute worst hotel I ever stayed in. Our room smelled bad.
Oh, no.
Other players on our team said they found bugs in their room.
Ew.
We were looking at getting moved to other hotels. We asked the front desk if there was any other room upgrades so that they could change our room. It was terrible. I remember the trip. The tournament went well. We played really well. We had a lot of cool experiences. We went to a hot spring. We played a lot of mini golf.
Mm-hmm.
But the one thing that I will always remember from that trip is that darn First Choice Inn. And I will never ever stay at another First Choice Inn if I see it in any other city. That hotel has, there's not a lot of things in my life that I say, I will never do that again. I will never do that again.
That's funny. Okay, so what's your best?
The best, there's two that immediately come to mind. Both are fairly recent. The first one was a boys' trip to Manhattan Beach. Manhattan and Hermosa Beach, which is already one of my favorite places in the world.
Mm-hmm.
I said if I was going to live anywhere, that would be the number one place that I would want to live.
Mm-hmm.
And this boys' trip was just great because there was a group of six of us, and three of our birthdays are all around the same time.
Uh-huh.
One of my friends is March 7th, I'm the 17th, and another friend is the 19th.
Mm-hmm.
So we always try and go on this trip, and we went to a soccer game, we went to a professional game. We went out to the bar afterwards,
ooh,
and we've got lots of stories from the bar. One friend started working behind the bar, just taking people's orders.
Oh,
and
my
was
goodness.
Taking tips. Another friend was out running on the beach. We walked back to the hotel room, and we're like, last call was 2 a.m. Then we went to eat. How is it 4 in the morning? Like, what time warp are we in? And then the next day, we realized it was because of daylight savings time, and the clock jumped ahead.
Oh, my goodness.
But
how funny.
We were a little trashed at the point and did not realize how time went. And the other trip was with my boy, one of my old roommates, John Jackson, who you know.
Mm-hmm.
And we went to Australia to celebrate
ooh,
New Year's.
Fun.
So we were there to kick off 2020. We were partying in the streets of Melbourne. We woke up the next day, maybe a little hungover, maybe a little still drunk, who knows. And our Airbnb reservation was up. And we hadn't booked a flight back home yet at
oh,
that point.
No.
So we were like, what are we going to do? So we were like, well, we came to Australia. We have to go to Sydney. So we booked a flight to Sydney. On the flight, found an Airbnb to stay at in Sydney. Stayed in Sydney for another 3 days. Didn't have a flight home booked. And then finally we were like, all right, well, it's Friday. We've got work on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go back to the States. Let's get back to America. So that we ended up flying home. But that was a trip where we really just, everything was so spontaneous and it was so fun. And it was really cool kicking off the new year in a different country.
Oh, I'm sure. Well, those sound very interesting and very fun. So I'm going to have to go for my worst vacations. Kind of similar to an extent. So I was younger. I was with my mom and my sister, and my mom was on a work trip. My mom was a college coach. So she was with her team, and we were in Northern California, I believe. And we were staying at this hotel, and the fire alarm went off. So we all went out, and, you know, her and her team were there. We were sitting outside. They're like, okay, no problem. It went off 4 times that night. And I was like, I was pretty young, and I will never forget. I slept with all of my clothes, all of my shoes. I had like my, you know, stuffed animal with me. I just slept, and I was just so afraid that the alarm was going to go off. And I remember that at one point, one of my mom's girls that she was coaching at the time happens to be one of the fastest women in the world, Carmelita Jetter. She competed in multiple Olympics and won multiple medals, but she was still in college at the time, and I will never forget, we were sitting outside and it was kind of cold, and I was kind of half asleep, and she had a pillow and she had Teddy Grahams, and I said, why do you have Teddy Grahams? She goes, in case you get hungry, of course. And they were the best. They were the chocolate chip ones. So I guess that was a vacation to some extent, more of a work trip for my mom, but a vacation for me. Bad hotel. They couldn't figure out the fire alarm system and why it kept going off. And then the best vacation. That's a good question. I would have to say I took a road trip and I went from California to Indiana to drop my sister off at school, and we didn't really plan it. We just planned the first day to stop in Vegas at that time, and then everything else was kind of just fly by the seat of our pants. And it was really cool seeing out, you know, driving through different states and staying in different places. And my favorite place was Moab, Utah, and it was beautiful. We stayed in this little, like, I don't even know, like, hut, and it was all like, it was made of like mud. And it was just really cool, and I think that was probably like my favorite place that we stopped. But yeah, that was my best vacation.
That's awesome. And it's so funny when you said more of a work trip for my mom, vacation for me. When you're a little kid, everything's a vacation.
It really is. It really, really is. And I was so young, and we still joke around to this day that I slept in my socks and shoes and everything else.
As a kid, you get so excited. You're like, going to the grocery store sometimes feels like a vacation.
Sometimes it's a good time, depending on who you go with, either mom or dad. And
right.
You know, what you get at the grocery store, too. I totally feel you on that one.
Absolutely. Well, I am ready for some summer vacations.
I
no
am
doubt.
Ready, too.
I'm ready to go back to the beach. The weather's warming up in Vegas. I've already been hanging out by the pool.
Or tan on.
Exactly. I burn. I don't tan that much. So, You can handle all the tanning for us. I'll still keep slathering on the sunscreen.
Sounds like a plan. Well, thank you everyone for listening to yet another episode of Offsides. We're so excited. Make sure you tune in and listen to another week. And you let us know how our stories or our topics and things that we discussed helped you with an uncomfortable situation, as we talked about today, or a great engaging conversation that led to something even more. I'm Sonia with a J.
And I'm Andrew with an A.
And we'll see you next week on the Offsides podcast.